Chapter 11. A Talk with Mr. Garside. "You'll be safe," I told Lily. She looked down at her hands. "And you won't leave me with him at all?"
"Not for 1 minute."
She looked at Sam and then at me. She sighed.
"Okay."
I called Francis's business and got Mr. Garside's number from his secretary. Then I sent Mr. Garside a text. "This is Lily. I'm sorry that I ran away. I was frightened. Let's meet up. I'll give you what you want. But you have to give me the phone first."
"You can't tell me what to do."
Sam and I looked at each other. Then I began to write. "Not even if I'm a really bad girl."
"Now I'm interested."
"Tomorrow night, then. I'll send you the address." At 8:01, my doorbell rang. Lily let him in, and I watched from behind the bedroom door. Mr. Garside entered and looked nervously around the hall. I couldn't stop staring. What kind of man pushes himself on a girl who is 40 years younger than him?
"I've parked my car out the back," he said. "Will it be safe?"
"It will be fine," Lily said, and smiled. "Would you like a drink?" She started walking to the kitchen, with him following and taking off his jacket. As they entered the kitchen, Sam walked past me with Donna. He locked the door to the flat. Garside turned and saw them both there in their uniforms.
"Hello, Mr. Garside," I said, stepping out from behind the door. "You have something to return to my friend here."
Mr. Garside suddenly looked hot and uncomfortable. Sam stepped towards him.
"The phone, please."
"You can't threaten me," Mr. Garside said.
"We're not threatening you," I said. "We just want the phone."
"And don't even think of threatening Lily later," Sam said. "We know where you live."
"What the hell is going on?"
Mr. Garside said. I held out my hand.
"The phone, please."
Garside looked round, then finally reached into his pocket and handed the phone to me. I threw it to Lily. "Check it, Lily," I said. Lily stared hard at the picture on the phone, her face white. She nodded and then threw it to Sam, who threw it on the floor and jumped on it. Garside stared at us angrily.
"Now, let me leave."
"No. I would like to say something."
My voice shook with anger.
"You are a horrible little man, and if I..."
Mr. Garside laughed.
"Be quiet, you silly little..."
Sam jumped towards him, but I was faster. My hand reached out and hit the side of Mr. Garside's face. He fell back, blood running from his nose.
"Let me out," he whispered angrily. "Now."
Sam opened the door, and we watched it close behind him.
"He won't be back," said Sam.
That night, Lily knocked softly on my bedroom door.
"Can I stay here? I don't really want to go back to Mum's," she said.
"You can stay here as long as you want," I replied. She lay down on my bed next to me, and I pulled the covers over her. Will's daughter needed me, and it was all that mattered. The topic of the next Moving On Circle meeting was trusting the future, Mark explained.
I listened to Natasha and Daphne argue, and Fred telling us that he'd stopped trying to meet women on the internet. The only woman that he had met was old enough to be his grandmother. Then Sunil said that he would like to get married again, and Jake talked about going to college. I told the group about the job with Mr. Gopnik, and they all stared at me.
You got a job offer? In New York?
Yes, but I can't go now, I said. I have Lily to look after.
The daughter of your old employer, said Jake.
He was more than my employer, but yes, I said. They all looked at each other. Then Daphne said,
She's not even your family, and you're saying no to a job in New York for her?
That evening, Sam texted me to say that he would be late. He finally arrived at 9:30, still in his uniform, standing at the door looking exhausted.
What happened? I said.
I was in trouble at work.
What happened?
Someone saw the ambulance outside here the night that we met Garside, but there had been no emergency call for this address. I could lose my job if anything like that happens again.
Because of me and Lily, I said. I'm so sorry. I started to step towards him, but then something made me pause. Suddenly, I was back in Dignitas, watching Will turn away from me. I'd known then that I was losing him. Pushing away this thought, I reached out and touched Sam's arm. But it was too late. He looked down at my hand, and I had the feeling that he knew what had just passed through my head.
I should go, he said. Oh, someone left this for you downstairs.
He was holding out a huge envelope.
Come in, please, I said. Let me cook you something.
No, I should get home.
And he walked down the hall before I could say anything else. In the living room, Lily turned away from the television. She was staring at the envelope.
It's addressed to you, I said.
She opened it slowly to find a photograph album. On its cover was written, For Lily Trainer. She opened the album, and there on the first page was a photograph of a baby. Underneath it was a note.
Your father was a very big baby who cried a lot. But when he smiled, oh, he was so beautiful.
I sat down next to her as Lily turned the page. There was Will in his blue school uniform, and again, playing football. Lily touched his face.
I looked like him when I was small.
Well, I said, he's your dad. After Lily had gone to bed, I emailed Nathan.
I'm sorry. I can't take the job. Will's daughter is living with me now, and I can't leave her. I'll try to explain later. Thank you for thinking of me.
Then I emailed Mr. Gopnik, thanking him for his offer, but I wouldn't be able to take the job.